Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and I have Mateen filling in for Qasim today. So if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us what you do, your name, and where you live.
Okay, my name is Karen Iyeri. I also go by Coco. I am the owner of Kokani Cosmetics. By profession, I'm a nurse practitioner and clinical nurse specialist, currently residing in Houston, Texas.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start your company?
Okay, so as a nurse, I worked in oncology, and what I noticed in most of my oncology patients was that they cared a lot about their physical appearance, as well as what was going on inside their bodies. So I actually had a friend that passed away, and before he passed away, we had a conversation about skin and how everybody should just love the skin they're in. And then he passed away, and I was like, okay, this is my green light to go ahead and pull the trigger on business. So I was trying to figure out how I could still merge two worlds, my professional world and what I was really passionate about, how I can merge that in my life. So I thought maybe if there's a way I can merge healthcare and beauty, that would be a good avenue for me. So that's how Kokani Cosmetics came about. And with beauty, I thought, how about if starting with the first thing that people see is your skin, right? And before you put on any makeup, your skin should be good. Right? It should be healthy. And that's what's going to actually make your makeup look better. So that's how Kokani Cosmetics came about. Yeah.
Awesome. So how did you go from having this idea in your mind to actually going and starting this business?
Okay. So how did the idea come to fruition? That was really hard for me, actually, because I never knew I was an entrepreneur before I became an entrepreneur, right? So I started with kind of like Googling, how do you start a business, right? And kind of like how to format your business. What should it be? LLC versus S Corp, you know, and all those things. So I first tried to think of a name. And the name came from my childhood name, Coco, and my friend that passed, Manny. So that's how we came up with Kokani. And so after I came up with the name and I knew that I wanted to do skincare, I had to go through a sampling process because, you know, this is going to be something that people are putting on their face. So they have to trust that it's going to be okay. So I got samples together. I met with some chemists that I found online, and I got some samples together, different kinds of samples, so that people could kind of test out different cleansers, different toners, different moisturizers to see what they liked and what they didn't like. And I kind of extracted that feedback and created the line.
Awesome. So in terms of testing and trial and error, you know, how much testing did it actually take between, you know, actually, you know, you get this product, you're working with chemists, obviously mixing different chemicals, like how long did that whole process actually take you?
That actually took me about a year. And it took me about a year because I knew I wanted three basic things, a cleanser, toner, and moisturizer. So once I kind of like put together fitting packages of what I thought would go together, and I would send them out to people, and I would give them about 2 months to try the product, because the skin cycle is funny depending on how old you are. It can range anywhere from like 20 something days to over 30 days. So I gave everybody 2 months to kind of let me know how they felt about the product. It took me about a year.
Yeah, that makes sense. Obviously, there's many skincare brands out there. So what would you say makes you kind of unique, or I guess you say better than your competition?
Okay, there are a lot of skincare brands, and the competition is thick. So what makes me different is that there aren't a lot of skincare lines owned by a healthcare professional. So that's what makes my brand stand out, because I'm literally merging two worlds. And I don't think we get that with a lot of the skincare that's on the shelves or in the department stores. I don't think it's intentional when people are merging skincare and beauty and health. And that is the aim of Kokani Cosmetics.
That's amazing, because I feel like so many people are putting things on their skin that they're just, you know, there's so many chemicals. They're not looking at like all these negative medical effects.
Impact.
Like it seems like a very, so, and that's really smart.
Yeah. And then, you know, we have like Obviously, I won't name names, but you have all of these brands that get class action lawsuits in hindsight because, okay, now they're causing ovarian cancer and, they're having to pull things off the shelves. So, because there was never an intention to make this something healthy, it was just to make you look good. So they are forgetting the health aspect of it.
Makes sense. So in terms of marketing, like how are you getting the word out? How do you tell people about your product?
Marketing is actually a huge challenge because there's a lot of people in the market. So through Instagram primarily, I do a lot of pop-up shops. I try to sponsor events to get my name out there.
But just in terms of reaching people, like, do you run ads? Like, I guess, like, what is your strategy in terms of, because, like, obviously, right, like, your mission is amazing. Like, that makes so much sense because, like, you're a medical professional selling this product that, but do you, like, run ads? Like, what is your, like, I guess, like, what has been, like, your main strategy besides, like, pop-up or even, like, sponsorship?
So running ads has been a challenge because you have to know the algorithm has to make sense, right? And I know nothing. I told you my lane is healthcare and beauty. So algorithm marketing, that's not mine. So I had to outsource that. I had to outsource actually several individuals for marketing. And then actually, the way you see Kokani Cosmetics now is not what it looked like 2 years ago. So I had to rebrand because I was told that, if you want your brand to be competitive with these other people that are out there, it has to look a little different. So I went through a rebranding process that was outsourced, and then I was referred to a few marketing agencies, and I kind of use a lot of different ones because each one gives me like a different angle to look at. So I have somebody to help me with ads, running ads. I have somebody to help me with my Instagram and Facebook, merging those two things and getting ads through Facebook ads and Instagram ads.
Awesome. So, in terms of technology, is there any role in your business for artificial intelligence?
Oh yes, Chat GPT. That's the main one that I like see on the horizon, and I feel like to everybody out there that is an entrepreneur or a business owner, and is looking to see whether or not to use AI, I would highly recommend it because your competitors are using it, and they're going to outsell you. You're not going to be in the race for long if you're not going to use AI, is what I'm saying, because it's really taking over. ChatGPT just does things and formulates sentences that you could never think of on your own. So that's really helpful, and it takes that burden off of you with like, how should I say this in a way that's going to be catchy? Yeah. So
So
yeah,
if
I
you,
do see AI.
so in terms of AI, so you think the role for your business more like also along the lines of like content writing per se, right?
Yes. Content writing for sure.
So what about have you looked at, for example, like high level chatbots that have AI machine learning answering questions, like I guess maybe telling more of your story, which I think, even looking at your brand, it's like I didn't know all this until you told me. So I think that's something that I think definitely needs to be more front and center because I think that's like a very important mission, right? Being like a medical professional selling this product, like that should be like as a customer going on your website, that should be like right there, that you're a medical professional selling it.
Definitely. Thank you for that.
Yeah, because I think it's like, because, like as I said, it's like there's so much competition, but I think there needs to be more awareness, like brand awareness of your brand and like who you are. Because I think that in and of itself, in the story, like I think the story is amazing too. So I think in terms of marketing, that's just one thing that I just, noticed that I think more people should get this message that you're sharing with our audience here.
Thank you. I agree. I'm actually looking into my second phase of content, and I'm going to focus more on that. Remember, I said I didn't know I was an entrepreneur until I became an entrepreneur. Okay, so with that being said, I'm like naturally a very shy person, and my friends were like, "Yo, you have to tell people what you're doing, like, and who you are." Like I've been in nursing for over 10 years, been in the healthcare profession over 10 years. I'm 4 times published, but like nobody will know that if I don't tell them, right? So she was like, "You have to kind of tell your story a little more." So yeah, I understand. Plan to do that next
100%.
phase.
No, yeah, and I always tell people, even like starting this podcast, like it's not like a natural thing for me. And the first few episodes were so bad, but I'm like, I just had to do it. I just had to do it because I feel like it's so important to go and talk to people and to share their stories and to meet people. Like that's sort of like been a way for me to make, lots of great connections. So.
Right, for sure.
So in terms of getting the word out, are you like, are most of your customers right now local? You mentioned that you're in Houston or all over the US, or where are you finding most of your customers to be located?
So a lot of my customers are located on the East Coast. I'm actually originally from Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay.
So yeah, a lot of my customers are East Coast, and then a lot of them are in Texas, in Dallas specifically, because I lived in Dallas before I lived in Houston. So East Coast and Dallas specifically.
So in terms of sponsoring events, like, have you sponsored events like in Dallas and Boston, or is it more just like your local connections, like word of mouth, like, hey, I'm doing this, like a friend tells a friend tells a friend, or like, what does that look like in terms of like, you know, how you've reached people in those areas?
Okay. So, usually like this past weekend, I was at a media mixer, a Black media mixer in Dallas. And with that, a lot of other businesses are there as well. So they'll kind of tell me like, hey, I'm going to be part of this event. You know, what do you think about it? And then I'll look into it and I'm like, oh, who's the connect for that event? And I'll kind of get in contact with them and see if it's not like, if it doesn't suit skincare and beauty, then it doesn't make sense for me to be there, but maybe I can sponsor it. Like one time I sponsored a baseball game, it was like a HBCU classic baseball game. So I sponsored that. And then I didn't know that a lot of moms were going to be there. So moms wanted the skincare. So that was like a good angle for me. So it is a lot of word of mouth, like, hey, I'm doing this. And then you turn around, it might be an event that's suitable for skincare, but I may be able to contribute in a way to reach out to other people.
That's awesome. So in terms of like your vision, are you more focused on B2C or B2B, like getting this in stores? Like, what does that look like for you?
I do want to eventually get it into department stores, but right now I'm okay with it being an e-commerce brand right now. Maybe in the future, you have to be careful with department stores because they want a cut too. So you have to be able to negotiate, you know, what that's going to look like for you.
Are there certain stores that if you could choose that you would love to see your product in?
Yes. It would be like Macy's and Nordstrom type of beauty counters. Okay. On there. Yeah, that's where I see it going.
Awesome. Yeah, I think it's like there are definitely some brands that or some companies that don't have like the best reputation when it comes to those kinds of negotiations. But sometimes, you know, it's important.
Yeah.
Like, even if you don't sell as much in these stores, people will see it and they'll be, they'll know the name. So.
Right. And that's my goal, for people to know the name.
Awesome. Yeah. So what has been your biggest challenge currently in running this company?
My biggest challenge, I would say, is standing out from my competitors, kind of having my own lane, but still being in the beauty world. Like I said, we have like famous, I mean, Rihanna is doing skincare and she's just blowing everybody out of the water. But, you know, like there's a lot of celebrities in the beauty world and creating skincare lines. So it was initially kind of discouraging. I was like, how am I going to get to that level? But I just have to, you know, stay persistent and understand that my story is very different from any celebrity story, and kind of identify with people on a more personal level, because I'm sure Rihanna's a person, right? But it's very hard for her to identify with the average working woman, right? But I could. So I'm trying to establish that trust factor with people. And so hopefully get their buy-in and trust first before they can start using the product. So that's my challenge, and that's how I'm trying to overcome the challenge.
Yes. And I would say too, like, it's a huge market, you know, it's like you have so many celebrities that are getting into it because there is so much market share for everybody. And I think that there's room for so many players in the space. So I wouldn't even worry too much about the competition about celebrities, not celebrities. Cause like obviously, you know, there's so many beauty products and so many people have tons of different ones. So I think it's like, if you can show that value of what you're selling, I mean, people can buy Rihanna's product and your product and,
right.
It's like, why not, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So what would you say is your top business priority in the next 3 to 6 months?
Marketing. Yeah, marketing for sure. Marketing is always going to be my first priority because it's my personal weakness. Like I can't do marketing by myself, and I want to learn more about how the marketing game works. Like, I would like to know, what is the algorithm for ads? Because I still don't understand it, because I just hired somebody, like, help me figure it out. And then I think the other thing Marketing really is just the beast for me right now. That's the main thing I would say.
You're probably locked in and focused. Q4 is coming up, the holidays are coming up, probably looking to sell
Yeah.
lots of products for the holidays.
Right. And kind of getting the aesthetics right. Making it look nice and appealing. The marketing.
Yeah, it's all relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Marketing towards the holidays for the hot, so you can have a huge Q4, I think would definitely be important for you, probably.
Right. Yeah. Another challenge is because the products are made with premium organic ingredients, I kind of create all of the products in smaller batches. So because of that, if I sell out, then everything has to go on pre-order, and then I find myself having to order again. And they're waiting, and I'm anxious about them waiting because people want their stuff like yesterday. So I think that's another challenge for me. Trying to figure out that happy medium with not ordering so much product so that you don't have stuff just sitting and kind of wasting away, and then getting the product out fast enough.
Yeah, typical supply chain issues for sure. I think that's like
Yeah.
you always, yeah, it's very difficult because I mean, to your point, I mean, you don't know exactly how much demand's going to take off. And obviously, COVID happened a few years ago when things were selling like crazy. So it's like you really don't know exactly until, I mean, you can
Right.
get on Shark Tank or be on some show, and next thing you
Yeah.
know, you're going to sell a ton of products. So it's just all these things can happen
Right.
overnight. You just don't know.
Right. You don't know. Yeah. That's another challenge for me.
But if you're gonna, so like you mentioned small batches, is there like a specific reason why? Is it like a certain, like for example, right? So like if you make one product, like what's the expiration? Does it last for a year or 2 years? Like what does that look like?
So unopened, it's 2 years is okay, right? But it's 2 years from the day I receive it. Not from the day you receive it, right? So I just want to make sure that you're getting the highest quality product versus me having the product, let's say 6 months, and then you receive it. Now I just took half a year off of your shelf life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but are you shipping them directly to your customers?
Yes. Yep.
So is
I
the
ship
vision
directly.
to kind of more delegate that and have like your manufacturer
Drop ship.
ship, like, yeah, drop ship,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I'm looking to do drop ship so that I can not be so stressed out about it.
I was about to
But
say,
in
I'm like,
time, it'll come.
it's like, how do you manage your time? Because you're also working full time and you're running this business, right?
Yeah,
So, and you're
somebody
shipping
told asked me
everything.
that.
You're shipping
Yeah.
everything. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
how do you manage that?
So I have a little brother. And he helps me out a little bit, and yeah, I just make time. Luckily, post office, I don't work Saturdays or Mondays. Right, so a lot of things go out Saturdays or Mondays, and it works out. So if you order Friday, it's going to go out the next day. If you order anytime Monday through Monday morning or Tuesday to Friday, or Tuesday to Thursday rather, it'll go the following, actually Tuesday to Friday will go out Saturday, but if you order Saturday, Sunday, it'll go out Monday.
So your
So
brother
that's
is like your shipping assistant, basically.
sometimes when I
Yeah.
can bribe him when I can bribe him. Yeah. Yeah,
That's
yeah.
awesome. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
Anticipate your costs better. Make sure we run a tight budget and anticipate your influx and outflow. Because sometimes it just, especially if your paycheck is your working capital. And so you have to manage that money well, because before you become an entrepreneur, you kind of already have your funds allocated where they're going to go. Like, this is going to be for bills, this is going to be for fun. Understand that when you start a business, your funds may be a little lower if you really want your business to be successful. So you will have a lot of sacrifice. A lot of sacrifice. I know people say, yeah, you're going to have a lot of sacrifice, but you really don't understand the sacrifice until you're in it. And you're like, oh, I can't go on vacation because I need product. I need to change my website. I need to rebrand. All that's going to cost money. And do I want this brand to go crazy, or do I want to go on vacation? So,
Yeah, no, that's
yeah.
true. Like for me, it's like I'm full time into it, and I was just telling like one of our previous guests. I'm like, my mom always tells me like, when are you getting like a real job? I'm like, no, like that's not how this works.
Right. Yeah. Anticipate your finances, I would say. Would be one of my main advice. Yeah, my main advice
100%.
would be.
So if we're gonna have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for your brand?
I can anticipate that Right now, I think Kokani is gaining traction in Dallas, and I'm hoping that by next year we can probably have the whole Southwest region on board with Kokani Cosmetics, or at least have ever heard of it.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website and Instagram handle or just any social media handles?
Sure. So the website is www.kokanicosmetics.com. That's K-O-K-A-N-N-I cosmetics with an S.com. And my Instagram and Facebook is Kokani Cosmetics. Kokani Cosmetics on Instagram with no space. And on Facebook, Kokani Cosmetics. There's a space between Kokani and Cosmetics. I'm also reachable by email, kokani@kokanicosmetics.com.
Awesome. Are you on TikTok or not yet?
Not yet. I can't
you get
use
on
this
TikTok.
Social media.
You have to get on TikTok.
I have to get on TikTok.
I always tell everybody, I'm like, that's the easiest way to go viral organically is TikTok. It's like, you don't even have to pay. If you have good content, you can go viral very quickly because TikTok's algorithm rewards people not based on how many followers they have, but based on like how good their content is. So I would say get on TikTok, get on YouTube, like YouTube Shorts. Like you want to be on all these platforms, you can post the same content there. But I think if you can be in more places, that can definitely help in terms of marketing.
Thank you for that, Dan.
Yeah, of course. Well, I just want to say thank you for your time today. I really enjoyed our conversation and we're rooting for you. Hopefully you have a great holiday season and you keep growing your
you
company.
Too. Thank you so much. It was nice talking to you.
Talking to you. Thank you.
All right.
All right. All right. Bye.